have the committee there. We're now opening the hearing on House Bill 1180. Are there proponents for House Bill 1180? Welcome, Representative Schaefer.
Thank you, Senator Knutson, and members of the committee. I appreciate getting to bring this forward to you again. This bill that is in front of you for business improvement districts is, and it makes it, gives us another opportunity to choose a different form of getting monies that we need in order to promote our business districts and our convention centers and events that are going on. And it also makes a few changes in not having to have your businesses contiguous in a certain area, and that we are trying to do this so that all things can be developed and brought forth before the public, so that people will come to our cities and want to use our facilities that we have and engage themselves in the activities of our communities. And it is just another way of doing it. And I'm going to ask Carrie Christensen now to explain the bill more fully. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Representative Schaefer? Seeing none, thank you, and we'll welcome Mr. Christensen.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Harry Christensen. I'm a registered lobbyist for the Rapid City Convention Visitors Bureau. House Bill 1180 is as basically as a result of an Attorney General's opinion, which you should have in front of you now, that pointed out
we had a few didn't have quite sufficient copies.
Oh, okay.
So they're making some extra copies. I think
I made enough. I must have given away a lot this morning. Who hasn't got one?
I got one.
They were a very popular item at 7:30 this morning, apparently. So I had 10 copies. In any event, the Attorney General in April of last year did an analysis, and I think it's the first time that there's been opinion from the Attorney General on the business improvement district scheme of promotion ever. And he pointed out some deficiencies in the law. It's hard to argue with him because he's probably 99% right. You know, a lawyer always has to leave that 1% for himself. But and what we did was is we tried to craft a bill that would correct the deficiencies that he had picked up in the act. There are a couple of things that we do have in here that were not in the opinion. I want to point those out to you. We added on page 1, line 12, where construction or installation of convention or event centers. The event centers is new. On line 9 of page 2 of the printed bill, the development of any activities and promotion of the district area as opposed to promotion of events in the district area. That no, this isn't the printed bill.
He's just telling you what is
the changes
beyond correcting
yeah.
the Attorney General's office that's in the bill.
Yeah.
These aren't proposed amendments.
No, these are already in there.
And I think there's probably some sense you need to go just a little slower.
Okay, all right.
For people to catch up.
It's Friday. I want to go home. No. And those were the basic deviations from the Attorney General's opinion, and those were put in there basically to recognize that there are some definitional problems now compared to what was defined as these things back when the bill was originally passed, and I believe it was passed in 81 or 82. In the House, we did amend two things on the bill from the original draft, and that was there was an exemption from the tax for what's considered to be a complimentary room, where you give a room, and it happens quite often. If a soccer team comes, stays at your property, you will give the coach and the usually the fan club a room or a hospitality room. You do not charge for that, but it is considered to be a room that's been occupied. And so what it does, it exempts the complimentary rooms from the $2 tax. Also, there was a change in the exemption language, and that was at the request of the Revenue Department with respect to not charging a tax on the tax. One of the problems that the Attorney General pointed out was that when you charge the $2 bid tax, the state was charging a sales tax on it. And it doesn't seem to be appropriate to do that, because the property owner then would be paying out of his own pocket to collect that business improvement assessment. That's essentially what the bill does. I don't see anything that's startling or particularly far-reaching in the bill. It's in essence a attempt to address the Attorney General's opinion from April of last year. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions anybody would have on it.
Senator Lentz.
On page 2, would you give me an example of lines 21 through 23, what we're talking about with the non-contiguous property?
Sure. One of the problems is that the Attorney General opined that in order to develop a business improvement district, all the properties that were involved in the district had to be contiguous. Unfortunately, in most communities today, motels are not developed, and this we're talking about placing a bid assessment on a motel room. They are not built contiguous anymore. For example, in Rapid City, we have them clustered around exit 59. They're clustered around exit 58. They're on South 16. They're downtown. And so the properties are not contiguous, and we could form 5 different business improvement districts, but that seems silly. So what we've done is we've required that the property in the district be commercially zoned, and it need not to be contiguous. So we can have one business improvement district with motels that are clustered in different parts of the city.
Thank you. Further questions, Senator Kelly.
In order to put the bid into effect, does it take a majority vote of all the affected properties? Is that how they do it?
There are two ways to put a bid into effect. One is called top-down. That's where the city council can just pass a resolution doing it. However, if 51% of the property owners petition the city council not to have a business improvement district, it goes away. The second way that a bid is formed is by petition of the affected property owners. And they present the petition to the city council, and then the city council can either grant or deny that. There are hearings. We have not affected any of the safeguards that are put in place to protect people if they don't want a business improvement district. We put a provision in last year on the convention building bureau where, if you build a convention center using the business improvement tax, it requires a two-thirds written assent of all the property owners that are going to be assessed to pay that bond issue. And so I think this is very well protective of people if they don't want to be in a bid.
Go ahead, Senator Kelly.
Two questions. One, is that based on rooms or is it based on just licenses? And then the second would be, like in Sioux Falls, if they were going to use it to build or to fund the event center, you're saying it'd take two-thirds to accomplish that?
That's correct. Two-thirds of the properties have to assent to the use of their bid.
By room or by?
No, it's by property. It's not by room. It's by property. Two-thirds have to assent to the use of their properties to fund a bond issue to build either a convention center or an event center. And that was done last year.
Further questions, Senator Hunstad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, there was a couple things I was thinking about. Let me just settle on one, and then if I have enough time, I'll ask the second one. If I in my restaurant decide to donate to the Boys and Girls Club free meals that they can give away to raise money, and I use them for an example because I had breakfast with them this morning. Hope you did. Mm-hmm. They did a nice job down there. That as a restaurant owner, that I'm liable to pay use tax on that meal when I serve it, even though the meal was free and given away to the Boys and Girls Club, I pay a tax. Am I understanding that within this, you're asking to be exempted from paying that tax if you give away a free room?
That's correct, because the tax is based on occupied rooms. And that's exactly right, Senator Husted. If we give away a room, we still pay the sales tax on it, but we don't want to have to pay this tax on top of it. That's correct. We're not exempting ourselves from the sales tax on that room. We're exempting ourselves from the Business Improvement District assessment. So in effect, we're being treated no differently than you and your restaurant.
Thank you.
Senator Koistra.
Thank you, Mr. A question on page 3 on line 18. Page 3, line 18, the tax may not exceed $2 per occupied room per night. Where did you come up with that number?
That's existing language. That has been repositioned in the bill.
You what?
That's existing language. That's
it's just duplicated.
Well, actually, it's been moved from one section to this section, and that's so that it fits in with the tax exemption.
It is $2 now.
Yes, it's $2 now. That's correct.
Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And maybe, am I hearing you right that you say you're protecting those who choose not to participate? Now, does that mean that if the Business Improvement District is established, it would be possible for one property owner to exclude himself, or is it
no,
everybody in or everybody out?
Basically, the way these things are generally structured is that unless, in practicality, unless you have agreement on a large majority of the property owners, they do not happen. I can give you an example that in Deadwood we have, I think, probably 4 or 5 business improvement districts, and we've used them for building the parking ramp. We've used them for public improvements in the city of Deadwood, and we've used it for promotion of Deadwood. And had one property owner really fought it, it wouldn't have happened. And quite frankly, that's what happens generally in these deals. We're working one in Rapid City right now. And if you don't have everybody in the boat, it doesn't happen, quite frankly. Now, legally, can it happen? Yes. If 51% want it to happen, they create the district, it can happen. And if they issue bonds, it takes 2/3 of them to approve it. And you're going to bind the 1/3 that may not want to approve it. So in a legal sense, yes. It can involve people who don't want to participate. In a practical sense, no.
Further questions for Mr. Christensen. Senator Hunstad.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. This would be in reference to page 2, line 6, a strike through of events. Mm-hmm. So it used to say development of activities and promotion of events in the district area, and we've struck in events in, so it now says development of activities and promotion of the district area. We put into our highway funding protection of our roads, and we decided the protection of our roads was highway patrolmen, so we could figure out what in fact would you might be promoted that wouldn't be an event that we would be talking about here.
Well, I can give you a classic example, and this is in for the lawyers, the city attorneys that want to read the law extremely strictly.
Okay.
And that's why we put this in here. Let's say, for example, that we have a soccer tournament, and the soccer fields aren't in the district, but they're all staying in motels in the district. Technically, you could say that you can't use the money to promote that soccer tournament because it's not in the district. And so, you know, it's in there to solve some problems with interpretation. I think is the most diplomatic way to say that.
Senator Hunstad.
Let me follow that. Well, I was wondering if it could be used to promote the idea that I ought to have a district rather than, so I was obviously mm-hmm. looking at this differently, and that's why I thought the events sort of narrowed it down to tell you what you could be talking about. But I understand your answer, but I think by striking that out, you also open up a whole nother area.
Well, that's something the bid can spend its money for. So it's kind of a chicken and egg thing. In this case, the egg does come first. You have to form the bid. And so to try to use money that doesn't exist to generate interest in creating a bid is just practically impossible. So
Further questions for Mr. Christensen? The only question I would have, Terry, is at $2, this is relatively modest compared nationally to other special lodging taxes. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I stayed, it was just before session in Denver downtown there, and I think we were paying, if I remember correctly, the total tax was like $9 or $10 on the room. You go to Minneapolis and you're paying with the hump tax for the dome there, and it's $13, $14. This is really a modest amount. And I'm in the hotel business, among other things, business interests that I have, and this would not deter anybody. I mean, this is hotel rooms in the summer in the hills run anywhere from $90 to $130 a night, and this is a minimal amount. Right now, you can get a room for $20, so it'd be 10% of that. But
further questions for Mr. Christensen? Seeing none.
Thank you.
Further proponents for House Bill 1180?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Lauren Pankratz, registered lobbyist for the Visitor Industry Alliance. And we come before you this morning in support of House Bill 1180 for the reasons already stated to the committee. Appreciate it.
Any questions for Mr. Pankratz? Seeing none. Further proponents of House Bill 1180?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Pat McElgun with the Rep City Chamber and lobbyists for. We support this for obvious reasons in terms of what it provides a municipality and enabling legislation to do things that have previously not been able to be affected, and be glad to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions for Pat from the committee? Seeing none. Further proponents of House Bill 1180? Seeing none. We'll close proponent testimony. And opponents of House Bill 1180? Any opponents of House Bill 1180? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 1180 and open to committee action and discussion. Senator Kelly. Seconded by Senator Lentz, moved by DuPass, moved by Senator Kelly, seconded by Senator Lentz. Any discussion of the DuPass motion? Senator Koistra.
Thank you, Mr. I'm surprised there's not opponents to this, and I realize $2 is a modest tax for, and we travel quite often, and we stay at places we pay more, but I would have to say this type of a tax is probably one of the most unfair taxes that there are. For the reason that you have taxation without representation. And basically what you have throughout the state, it's us. We are elected here. We're the ones that deal with this for everybody, whether they're transit people coming through, etc. I wish other states would probably be more responsible in some of their taxing, but we are expanding this. There's no question just jurisdiction on that. And for that reason, I will oppose the DuPass motion.
Further discussion on the DuPass motion? Senator Kelly?
Just a comment. I think, one, we have to remember that this is a local option, that the city councils have to approve it, and so the local people. If it's taxation without representation, the whole United States is functioning on that premise, so I don't know that it's really a big issue.
Further discussion on the DuPass motion? Seeing none, those in favor of the DuPass motion will say aye. Those opposed will say no. The secretary will call the roll.
Denwald? Hansen?
Aye.
Hunstad?
Aye.
Kelly?
Aye.
Koistra?
No.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Lentz?
Aye.
Knutson?
Aye.
8 ayes, 1 nay.
House Bill 1180 will go to the floor with a DuPass motion.